this week is Parshas Emor. Parsha, let's jump to the middle of the Parsha. The middle of the Parsha discusses all of the Moadim. It's like you go through the entire cycle of Moadim in this week's Parsha. And in fact, this Parsha is the Kriya for Yom Tov. On the Yom Tov of Pesach, the first day Pesach, we lay in Shor, the Chesef, which leads into the Moadim. And on Sukkot, in fact, we have this very unique that in Chutz Li'aretz we have the same laning both days. Both days Sukkot we lane from Parshas Emor. Many people know this Parsha, they know the laning very well. What? Pesach first day. Pesach the first day, only the first day. The second day, Pesach, you lane something different. No, Asa, that's Achron Shel Pesach. The second day, Pesach. We lane Parshas Bo. The second day Pesach, Mishru. And the second day Pesach, he lane Shor. Second day Pesach, in Chutz Li'aretz. So we lay. No. Oh, in Eretz Yisrael, you mean? In Eretz Yisrael. No, Chutz is the second day you lay in Shor Chesach. The second day you lay in Shor Chesach. So you lay this for the Moadim three times during the Moadim. You lay in this. Three times a year you lay in this, then you have Parsha Emor, so we go through the entire Parsha, we go to the Moadim once again. Parshim, tell us, what?
No, this year, Pesach, Yom Sheni.
Yom Sheni.
Yeah.
And Yom Rishon, as it says, Mishru.
Sukkos.
So 3 days. 3 days a year we lay in. What do we lay in on the second day of Shavuos? Kol Bechor. Kol Bechor, okay. So we lane this Parsha, Parsha Semar, 4 times a year. The second day Pesach in Chutz Li'aretz, both days, first and second day of Sukkos, and Parsha Semar. Parshim tell us that when you lane a Parsha, you are reliving the events in the Parsha. So it's an experience. The laning Parsha Semar is a very powerful experience. In one shot, you're going through all of the Moadim. From Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, so on and so forth. It's a very powerful experience. It's not something, oh, this week we just happened, so you know, we have to read the whole Torah, so we have to play. And when you learn a Parsha, you're actually experiencing what is written in the Parsha. It's a minor holiday for us, this Shabbos. This Shabbos, this week, we're living through the Moadim. Okay, I want to discuss only one part of the Moadim that relates to Sirah Soimer is Sfaratim Lachamim Macharas HaShabbos Miyam Avich Nesu Oimer Sheva Shabbos Sois Tmimos. So I saw a very interesting idea from in the Sefer that was published from Rav Bick, the Chidushim of Rav Bick, Rav Moshe Bick Zechet Tzach Levracha, and he asked a very basic question: why is Pesach called Shabbos? Usfartem Lachamim Macharas HaShabbos Miyoim Havichem Es Oimer HaTenuva Sheva Shabbos Sois Tmimos. So, very basic question is why is it called Shabbos? And this was a problem with the Tzedokim. The Tzedokim viewed that it's Shabbos to be taken literally Sunday, and they would first begin counting Svira, the Shabbos after Sunday, after the Shabbos after Pesach. So you have Pesach, you wait for the first Shabbos Kodesh, and then Sunday. So Shavuos would always be on a Sunday because that's how they interpreted the pasuk. So Chazal said you're dead wrong, and there was an ongoing struggle Chazal to delegitimize the Tzedokim for their corrupt understanding of the pasuk. But it's a very good question. Why indeed is Pesach called Shabbos? That the Omer is described Mimocharas HaShabbos. It's very simple, but it's very, very brilliant. Chazal tell us that if Klal Yisrael would only observe 2 Shabbosos, Miyad Nigalim. If we only observe a double Shabbos, Mashiach would come right away. The question is, why do we need a double Shabbos? Why is it not enough to observe a single Shabbos? Shabbos across America. One Shabbos should do it. So the answer is, everyone knows the answer, that Shabbos has a dual nature to Shabbos. Shabbos has an effect on the future, and Shabbos has an effect on the past. Wednesday already is the Yom L'chun Ranola Hashem Neriel Litzoy Shenu. The Shabbos really begins Wednesday. 3 days before Shabbos, you already have to prepare, take into consideration that in 3 days from now it will be Shabbos, and you have to put things aside. You're limited in your travel where you can go because you have to take into consideration Shabbos is going to be in 3 days. How long does, when after Shabbos passes, how long does the Kedusha of Shabbos linger on? For 3 days, until Tuesday. Technically, it's being a person that can make Havdalah, person not make until Tuesday. Why? Because the Kedusha of Shabbos, the effect of Shabbos, lingers until Tuesday. So it comes to that Shabbos has a double effect on a person, forward and backwards. If you want to have a full week, a week that's packed with Kedusha, you have to have a Shabbos before and a Shabbos after. Every week, every 7 day period is a recreation of the world. So if you want to go through an entire week and imbue the week with Kedusha, the only way you can imbue the first 3 days of the week with Kedusha is by first observing a Shabbos. That Shabbos will give Kedusha to the first 3 days of the week. What about the next 3 days of the week, the last 3 days of the week before you come to Shabbos? Where will it derive its Kedusha? It's not going to derive Kedusha from the previous Shabbos because that already has expired. It will derive its Kedusha from the coming Shabbos. So therefore, in order to properly sanctify this world that was created in 7 days, we really need to observe a double Shabbos, shtei Shabbosos, a Shabbos before and a Shabbos after, because only with a combination of two Shabbosos can we imbue the 6 days in between. Okay, that's a very basic approach. I'm sure you will hear this at some point in time. And along the same lines, just a little bit different angle, is that the only way you can start a week with day number one is after Shabbos, because the days, you can't start with number one until you have a break point. Same idea. You have to have a break point, and then, oh, now it's Shabbos. Shabbos is over, is the end. Now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's only called day one if day one is coming after a break point. Otherwise, why is this called day one? This is day 8. This is day 9, day 10. You start with the Shabbos. Shabbos is a break point. Now we start day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 is Shabbos. You have to have the two break points. It's the same type of idea, but instead of focusing with a level of sanctity, you can just focus on a much more mundane approach. You have to have two breakpoints in order to bridge the 6 days in between. Okay, now, when it comes to Sfira, we are required to count Sheva Shabbosos Tumimos, 7 weeks. Now, the 7 weeks that we count in Sfira are not Shabbosos of Shabbos Kodesh. Because Sfira can begin on a Monday, on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday. Any day of the week, technically speaking, Sfira can begin. So when we get to the end of the week, like we count Sfira, today is 3 weeks in the Omer. Right? You come to 3 weeks, 21 days, which is 3 weeks in the Omer. Three Shabbosos. That doesn't mean three Shabbosos of Shabbos Kodesh, of Maaseh Bereishis. It means 3 weeks. Is there any significance of that cycle? So the answer is yes. The only way a Shabbos, a week can be complete, is you have a Shabbos in the beginning. Just like when it comes to our Shabbos Kodesh, you have to have a Shabbos before the Shabbos after. In order that when you finish one cycle, it shall be considered the end of the first cycle, as if the Shabbos came before. So Pesach must be called a Shabbos in order that when you get to day 7 in the counting of the Omer, it's called one Shabbos. In other words, let's say the Pesach will not be called Shabbos. Usfartem lechem imocheras haPesach sheva Shabbosos tamimos. Do you know what the halacha would be? You would have to wait, count 8 weeks. Because you would first have to define a starting point of a Shabbos before, in order that when you get to the end, to day 7, it shall be called a Shabbos. Just like Chazal explained, if you want, in order to have the full power of Shabbos, there must be a Shabbos in the beginning and a Shabbos at the end. Because the Shabbos works both ways, the whole essence of Shabbos is it shines. It casts its light forwards and backwards, so you must have a starting point. If the Torah would tell us, I want you to count Sfiras Omer, Sheva, Shabbosos Tamimos, and you're going to start after Pesach, you first must have your starting point. So what's our starting point? We're going to have to go count a certain number of time. We'll count 7 days. Okay, we'll count 7 days. Pesach will start. Pesach is over. We'll count 7 days, Shabbos. Oh, this is our start. We're going to have to somewhere along the line establish a day of Shabbos to be our starting point, so that when we'll then go forward another 7 days, that will be the closing point. So the Torah says, you know what your starting point is? Pesach Shabbos. The Pesach is the Shabbos before, so that when you get to day 7, that shall be considered to be your first Shabbos. It's a very simple but very profound idea. Yeah?
I mean, I just don't understand. I mean, the Gemara brings a much simpler reason.
Yeah.
You need 50 days. If you don't start from there...
So when does day 1 begin?
Today.
The point is just like when it...
Pesach.
What?
If it's not going to be day after Pesach, it's not going to be 50 days. You go any other way, it's going to be 49, 50.
But when is day 1? You have to define day 1.
Day after Pesach. It's got to be...
Okay, if that's what you want... So if that's what you want, the Torah says, Tisperu chamishim yom. But if you're going to count 50 days, you're not going to have Sheva Shabbosos Tenimos. The Torah wants there to be a Shabbos Tenimo, a perfect week. The only way you can have a Shabbos Tamima is if you have a Shabbos in the beginning and a Shabbos at the end. That Chazal tell us. If Klal Yisrael will be negolim if they observe Shabbos. How do you observe Shabbos? The only way you can have a Shabbos Tamima is a Shabbos in the beginning and a Shabbos at the end. If you want to count 50 days, Gezun Day, count 50 days. The Pasuk says, Tisperu Chamishim Yom. So we're going to have to readjust our understanding. But here's the point. Being that the Torah says that it must be in addition to 50 days, there also must be the counting of Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos, 7 complete Shabbosos, and the only way you can have a fulfillment of a Shabbos Tamima is a Shabbos in the beginning, a Shabbos at the end. You're going to have to first establish a Shabbos in the beginning before you can count day 7 as your first Shabbos.
What do you mean Shabbos in the beginning? When you say Shabbos in the beginning, what does that mean?
Your starting point. Your starting, yeah. That's the point I'm trying to bring out. Chazal tell us, if Klal Yisrael would only observe a Shabbos, Miyad Negolin. So why do we have to observe 2 Shabbosos? Why isn't one
Shabbos in the beginning? I don't understand it. What do you mean Shabbos in the beginning? The beginning of the counting should be a Shabbos. It's always
got to
be
a Shabbos. If the Torah would not define Pesach as a Shabbos, it would just define Pesach as an ordinary day, we would not have a starting point. We would be forced to first count 1 week, then come to Shabbos. Oh, this is now Shabbos. The day after that first Shabbos is then we're going to begin our 50-day count, and we come to the next Shabbos, that will be our first Shabbos Tamima.
Shabbos here. The first day of the Yoma was on a Wednesday.
Shabbos here means seven sets or cycles of 7.
Right. But it can't be called the cycle. But you have to have.
Not opening your mind to what
it is. You have to have a Shabbos. He's defending me. See, good guy.
I understand.
You have, in order to have a Shabbos Tamima, a true Shabbos experience, you have to have a Shabbos in the beginning and a Shabbos at the end. Is that clear to you? Is that clear? You, in order to have a complete experience of Shabbos, you must have a Shabbos in the beginning and a Shabbos at the end. And we can only relate to that when it comes to our regular observance of Shabbos Kodesh, because the Shabbos extends for the first 3 days. You can make Havdalah. So the first 3 days of the week, we are filled with Kiddush of the previous Shabbos. And the last 3 days of the week, we already have the Kiddush of the coming Shabbos. So the whole week, so it's exactly the same concept when it comes to Svira Asayim. Now, here, let me leave one point I didn't say yet. That is, the 7 weeks are 7 experiences of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's also what the pasuk, our big extent, what the pasuk is also trying to teach us. When we go through a cycle, what kind of cycles are we going through? We're going through a cycle of relating to, trying to deepen our appreciation of what happened with Yitzias Mitzrayim. We're not counting the Shabbos on the 7 calendar days of Ma'aseh Bereishis. When we count 7 weeks, we're counting 7 cycles. No, we left Mitzrayim. Now it's the first Sunday after leaving Mitzrayim. It's now the first Monday after leaving. It's the first Tuesday. Let's say we left Mitzrayim, make believe we left Mitzrayim on a Tuesday. So the first time we can relate to being a free man, we're free people, B'nai Chayrin, Tuesday. Wow. This is my first Tuesday as a free man. This is my first Wednesday as a free man. My first Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I've now gone through the whole experience, a whole cycle of what it means to be a free man. To not no longer be a slave to Egypt, to be a slave spiritually and physically. So the cycle, the Shabbos cycle, is the cycle of appreciating Yetzias Mitzrayim. In order that we can appreciate that appreciation, Yetzias Mitzrayim, we have to have a starting point. It could very well be that Pesach, we left Egypt. Okay, we give you a buffer zone. We give you some time to decompress. Time off. To adjust. Then you'll pick a day. Now we're going to start. Time has passed. We're going to find the time. It's not clear where we're going to find that time. We're going to have to find the time to start. Okay, the clock is now going to start. Now we're going to appreciate what it means to be a Ben Chayrin. And we're going to do this for 7 days. I have every single possible scenario, every single day of the week. That's 1 week. The point is, if you want to come, this is, it's a very profound point. If you want to reach a goal, you have to have a starting point. Goals just don't happen. You have to have a starting point. There's a starting point and there's a finishing point. You have a race. You start here and you finish here. It's not just, okay, whoever gets to the finish line wins. Yeah, where did you start from? You get to the finish line. You run a marathon. No, I got to the finish line. Yeah, I cheated. I got on the train and I came over here, took out my bike, and I came in. This is my son, the Cholom marathon. So always have these stories. People, the cheaters, they come, where do they start from? You have to prove that, well, they have all this, until it's new, all the new, no, it's only recently they had this technology where, you know, they sign you in. When you just start off, they track you from the very beginning, because until recent times, people did this. It was Ma'aseh L'Chol Yom. There was no tracking. You get in the mail, you think they assume you're going to start. No, they don't start. You come in the middle of the race. That's what our biggest saying, in order to have a Shabbos Tamima, you have to have a Shabbos in the beginning. And that is why the Torah had to tell us that Rabbeisai, Pesach, is the starting point. And Pesach, we're not calling it Pesach, we're calling it Shabbos. Because since I want you to come to the finishing point of a Shabbos Tamimos, and a Shabbos Tamima can only be when there's a Shabbos in the beginning, we have a starting point, we have an end point, and that's how you can have your Shabbos Tamima.
But even if you call Pesach Shabbos, it's not going to have the other aspect that you said about Shabbos, where it has an effect on 3 days.
Yes, it does.
And 3 days.
Yes, well, it does, because you left Mitzrayim, the day that you left Mitzrayim, that Kedusha will be cast forward for 3 days.
The 3 days is also put in Pesach?
In some way, yes. Let's assume so. And then you come to that 7 day, end of the cycle, now you're gonna reinforce it. And that's going to go cast backwards. The point is, you have to have a starting point, you have to have a finish point, and that is why Rabik says, that is why the Torah had to write that you count Mimocharas HaShabbos. Because the Mocharas HaShabbos connects us into Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos. The Torah wants Tamimos. The Torah is required to give us the starting point, and the starting with the word Shabbos, and the Shabbos is going to be Pesach. It's a very profound idea. There's a lot you can extrapolate from this idea of having Tamimos is beginning and end, tying into this idea. If only Klai Shel observe it, 2 Shabbosos, we would Mashiach would come. Okay, let's go to another idea. Yeah. They don't view the cycle. They don't view the cycle as relating to Pesach. They view the Shabbos. They don't understand this concept that we just said. They take the word Shabbos to mean Shabbos Ma'aseh Bereishis. They wait until Saturday.
But, so I start on a Sunday and finish the Shabbos again?
That's
I have to need my son the Shabbos.
Yeah, in a Hanami, that's what they're doing. They're doing that, but they're doing it. Yes, that is what. Yes, correct. Correct. You are correct. Correct. You're correct. The Tzedokim are taking this principle. You're right. I stand corrected with this principle, but they're corrupting it and saying that the beginning is Shabbos Kodesh, Saturday. Whereas the Torah, the Chazal tell us, is that no, the cycle is a cycle of Yitzias Mitzrayim. You're right. You know, your biggest giving an understanding to the Tzedokim. You're right. It's there's something there. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, this is a short idea, which is going to lead us into something I want to develop. Okay, we'll discuss it later. Let's go weiter. Okay, I want to discuss another idea. This is a little bit lengthy, the second part, but let's just open up the idea with some shorter ideas. In the Moadim, there are a few things I want to discuss now, but in the Moadim, let's just get a very basic picture. We have here in this parasha a remes to all of the Moadim, one thing at a time. Also, in between each one of the Moadim, there are breakpoints. Now, in the Torah, there are two different types of breakpoints. There's parashas psuchos and parashas stumos. A parasha psucha is where a parasha begins on the beginning of a line. Paragraph, like, you know, like the paragraph ends. It used to be, when you write paragraphs, you have to indent. Online, the minig is you don't indent. So you end the line. That's a different style, different technology. You don't indent. You don't indent when you begin a new paragraph. You start in the beginning of the line. That's really going back to the Torah. The Torah was like a computer. You don't indent. The parasha psucha is where it begins on the beginning of a line. What's called the parasha stuma? Parasha stuma is where you just skip space. The parasha ends, and you skip 9 letters, and on the same line, you begin another chapter, and the only difference is there is blank space, but the parasha does not begin on a new line. Now between, that's called the parasha stuma. It's closed. And what is a much more significant opening? Parasha psucha. When you have a parasha psucha, the Torah is making a statement, new book, new chapter, we're beginning an entirely new section, whatever we learned before, forget about, new, brand new. When you have a parasha stuma, it's like what I'm going to tell you now, it's connected to what we've learned above. It's not totally connected, because there is some blank space, but there is a relationship. So the Sefer Alei Goyon, a beautiful new Sefer of Drush, he points out, it's fascinating, I never picked this up, fascinating idea. When you go through the Moadim in the Torah, it's very strange. Some of the Moadim are broken from the previous Moed with a Parsha Pesucha, and some are broken with a Parsha Stuma. And let's look. First, we begin with Shabbos. Shabbos begins a parsha psucha. It's a new topic, fine, a new leaf, a new chapter. We begin Shabbos. When Shabbos is over, b'kol melacha lo sasu, Shabbos yil Hashem v'chol moshvo seichem, the parsha is over. We now begin the parsha Pesach. It's a parsha psucha. Pesach is a parsha psucha. Why? Because Pesach has nothing to do with Shabbos Kodesh, right? There's Shabbos Kodesh, and Pesach is Pesach, Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's one of the Sholosh Regalim. What does Pesach have to do? Just because the pasuk calls it Shabbos, that's we explain the whole Jewish. That's a whole different story. What? Parsha psucha. Parsha psucha. Because Pesach is an entirely new idea. It has nothing to do with Shabbos Kodesh. There's Shabbos Kodesh, and we have our Parsha psucha. Okay, now we go after Pesach. We come to the next Yom Tov of Shavuos. We come to the Omer. Not Shavuos. The next Parsha psucha is the second day. It's a fascinating insight. Is the second day of Pesach. Opens up a whole new understanding. The second day of Pesach in the Torah, you get a flavor from the Torah's flavor is a whole different Yom Tov. It's an incredible new way of looking at the Torah. We view the first 7 days of Pesach, it's one big Yom Tov. It's true, the 7 day holiday, we go 7 days straight, but it's not really true. What?
The way the Torah
is Yom Tov, and then the Shvishol Pesach is okay, but what's really happening, what's fascinating is, it's Chol HaMoed, we have a parasha psucha, and we begin the parasha of the Omer. The Omer takes place on the second day Pesach, and concludes pretty much with the seventh day, is also a holiday. It's a very interesting idea. Let's talk about Sukkot. Let's just break away for one moment. How do we view Sukkot? Sukkot, we have the first day Sukkot, and then we have really 6 days of Chol HaMoed. It's not a sandwich, Sukkot. One day Sukkot, and then we have 2 days, but listen to Eretz Yisrael, we have 6 days of Chol HaMoed. Hoshana Rabbah is really Chol HaMoed. There's no Torah, doesn't make a big deal about Hoshana Rabbah. We make a big deal about Hoshana Rabbah. So it's 1 day and 6 days. It's over. There's no sandwich. Shmini Atzeres, it's a whole different world. It just so happens to be Shmini Atzeres comes after Sukkot, so it's Bayom HaShmini on the 8th. But Sukkot really is one, and then 6 days of Chol HaMoed. And then there's another holiday. Sukkot is just the opposite. Sukkot, well, not just the opposite, but we have 1 day. So Pesach is the opposite. Pesach is 1 day. And then we have a new, it's over. We have a new holiday. We have a new holiday of 5 days, followed by a holiday the 7th day. How do I know that? It's a parasha psucha. It's a parasha psucha. On the 2nd day of Pesach, you shall bring the Omer. It's a parasha psucha. And let's go further. Not only is it a parasha psucha, it tells the Omer, and it leads into... You bring the Omer. So to a certain degree, to the 2nd day of Pesach is a Yom Tov Bifnei Atzmo. It's the Yom Tov of Pesach is over after the 1st day, and now we have the Omer, begins a whole new segment in the Torah when you look at the Parsha Psuch. We look at the thing that's a Parsha Psuch. Now let's go to Shavuos. Shavuos is what? Parsha Stuma. In between Pesach and Shavuos, in the Torah, it's a Parsha Stuma. So what does that tell us? Is that Shavuos is connected to the Omer. So Shavuos is really the conclusion of the 2nd day of Pesach. Because in between the Omer, the 1st day of Pesach, the 2nd day of Pesach, and Shavuos, we have a Parsha Stuma. In between the 1st day of Pesach and the 2nd day of Pesach, we have a Parsha Psucha. So that shows us the order of the holiday. Have Shabbos is one holiday. The 1st day Pesach is a separate holiday. Then comes a new holiday, the 2nd day Pesach, and that holiday really extends all the way until Shavuos. So Shavuos is not the Gemar of Pesach. Pesach is over. Pesach is 1 day. Shavuos is the Gemar of the holiday, a new holiday that begins on the 2nd, what we call the 2nd day of Pesach. It's fascinating, because that's the way the...
It says, before the Sukkah going into Shavuos, it ends off with Yom HaShviti, Rebbe Kodesh. So it's like, how does one relate that to the same that the 2nd day is beginning?
It straddles both, but we're focusing now on a statement of the Torah by Psuchos and Stumos. Obviously, Pesach is a 7-day holiday. I mean, no one's going to rewrite the Torah. It's a 7-day holiday. V'yom Hashmini. Pesach is Pesach. Chag Matzah Zeh. But look at what the Torah did. It's an amazing insight. Yeah, I'm not denying. I want to go on another level. I'm not denying the obvious. Pesach is a 7-day holiday. Every single day we say in the Shemoneh Esrei, Chag Hamatzah Sazeh, Chag Hamatzah Zeh, eat matzah for 7 days. What more do you possibly want? It's Pesach. It's not a new holiday. Chag Hamatzah, Chag Hamatzah. That's what it says in the Torah. It's clear as day. But the Torah also speaks to us in many ways. And one of the ways it speaks to us is with Psuchos and Stumos. And the Psucha is after Yom HaShmini, but then we're going backwards in time.
So you straddle backwards?
Yeah. The Torah is speaking to us in many dimensions. Where the Psucha and the Stuma is like shouting at us. Torah, you read the words, everything is connected. It's telling us there's another way to break up the holidays. And the holidays being broken up, that we have a new holiday on the second day, Pesach, and that new holiday goes all the way until Shavuos, because there's not only the parasha stuma between Pesach and Shavuos. Okay, I'm not denying the obvious. You have to loosen up a little bit. This is not pure apikorsis. Loosen up a little bit.
I'm running pure apikorsis.
What? It's not, what? There are 7 days of Pesach. The Torah speaks to us in many languages. It speaks to us in the obvious, and it speaks to us through the way it breaks up the chapters. It cannot be ignored that the Torah gives a larger break between the first day Pesach and the second day Pesach than it gives from the second day Pesach all the way until Shavuos. That cannot be denied. And when you look at it in that, from that perspective, not to deny the other simple approach, it's telling us there's a holiday called Pesach, and then there's another holiday, a brand new holiday, that begins on the second day of Pesach, that goes all the way until Shavuos. A whole new way of looking at things. Now, after Shavuos is over, guess what? We have a Parsha Psucha. Okay, Parsha Psucha, so over, Shavuos is over. What's the next holiday? The next holiday is Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, Parsha Psucha, no problem. Then comes Yom Kippur. How does the Torah separate Rosh Hashanah from Yom Kippur? With what type of Parsha break? What type of Parsha break? A Parsha Stuma. And that doesn't need any explanation, because obviously Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is one. It's one holiday, right? It's Yimei Hadin. Rosh Hashanah is the Yimei Hadin, and Yom Kippur is Yimei Tshuva. See, that's not explicit in the Torah. In the Torah, there's Rosh Hashanah and there's Yom Kippur. It's pure Chazal. It's pure Chazal to understand what's happening. But really, the Torah alludes to this, that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is really connected in the fact that between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it's a Parsha Stuma. It's not only Torah Shabbat Peh. There's something here in the Torah Shabbat Chsav that's even hinting to that. Then we come to Sukkot, and in the Chanami, Sukkot is a whole new holiday. Ulekachtem lechem b'yom harishayin. So Rishon lecheshen avon, it's an entirely new world. The whole new world begins on, whole new world begins. Okay, while we're in this discussion, let's then go further. What comes next? After we finish Sukkot, comes the Parsha. Oh, and by the way, there's no break for Shmini Atzeres at all. Shmini Atzeres goes right in. There's not even a parasha stum of nothing. Shmini Atzeres is it's in Sukkot. It's in Sukkot. Yom Hashmini. Ulekach lam yom rishon. It says ach bayom Hashmini Atzeres. It's in the pasuk. Because Shmini Atzeres is an extension. It's telling us. It's teaching us that Shmini Atzeres is a direct outgrowth of.
But there's no reference.
There is a reference. Look, Pasuk Lamed Vav. Shavas Yomim Takrivu Isha Lashem Bayoim Hashmini Mikra Kodesh Yelachem Vikraftem. So Yom Hashmini is this there. And there's not even any break at all. That's also the Torah speaking to us another language. Shmini Atzeres is even more connected to Sukkot than any other of the Moadim are connected to a previous holiday. Now let's go further while we're in this conversation. What's the next Parsha Psucha? The next Parsha Psucha is Tzav Es B'nei Shavivchei Lecha Shemen Zayis Zoch. And what do all of the Darshanim say? What does this refer to? This refers to Chanukah. Right? This is famous stuff, Chanukah. What comes after the next Pasuk Hey? Okay, this is what's Volokach to Soiles, the next parasha Psucha, V'afiso Isos, Shtemes Shechalos, the parasha of the Shulchan. What's the Shulchan? Shulchan is Purim. Why is the Shulchan Purim? Because the Shulchan is bread, it's Lechem. And what does the Shulchan represent? Keser Malchus. It represents Ashirus. It represents wealth. And what is Purim is all about Malchus. Furthermore, what's bread? What is bread? Bread represents our physical needs. What does the menorah represent? Our spiritual needs. What did Haman want to do to Klal Yisrael? He wanted to destroy us physically. What did the Yevanim want to do to Klal Yisrael? To destroy us spiritually. So the parsha of the lechem, the shulchan, and the lechem aponim represents the next holiday in the year. So remes, of course, there was no Purim. It was a remes to the Yom Tif of Purim. Now let's go further. What do you do with the lechem aponim? How many maroches are there? How many arrangements are there in Purim on the shulchan? There are two arrangements. Why there are two arrangements? Because the Yom Tif of Purim is really divided into two parts. What are the two parts of Purim? Purim and Lag BaOmer. How do we know this? It's in Shulchan Aruch. It says Shulchan Aruch, we have the simanim of the year, the 6 days. We have the simanim of the first days of Pesach correspond to the different holidays. The first day Pesach is the same day as Tisha B'Av. Aleph Atbash. The second day of Pesach, Beis, corresponds to Shin, Shavuos. Gimel, the third day, corresponds to Resh, Rosh Hashanah. Dalid corresponds to Kuf, Kriya. Kriya refers to Shmini Atzeres. Kuf is the Yom of Kriya when you finish the Torah. And then comes Hey corresponds to Tzadis, Tzom, Yom Kippur. And then comes Vav. What's Vav? Vav corresponds to Atbash, Pei. What's Pei? Purim. But Purim l'sha'ovar. Right, we have Atbash, the very popular symbol. This is Shulchan Aruch. We learned there are 6 days of six. The first 6 days, what's the seventh day? Seventh day is Mashiach will come. Happens to be Heir, who also happens to be, happens to be also, but that's not, I'm not getting into trouble now. But that's a famous Atzmo drasha. Not mine. But there are six days, the first 6 days of Pesach, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hei, Vav. The first letter corresponds to the last letter of the alphabet. The second letter corresponds to the second to last. The third to the third to the last. The fourth to the fourth to the last. The fifth to the last. And the sixth. Aleph corresponds to Tov. What is Tov? Tisha B'Av. Beis corresponds to Shin, Shavuos. Gimel corresponds to Resh, Rosh Hashanah. Dalet corresponds to Kuf, Kriya. Kriya is a reference to Shmini Atzeres, the day when you lay. The fifth letter corresponds to Tzadi. Tzadi is the fifth to last letter. Tzadi is Tzom. Vav. Now all of those letters are what's going to be the following year. What's coming forward in the future. The sixth letter, day of Pesach, corresponds to the sixth to the last letter in the Aleph-Bays, which is Pei. And what's Pei? Purim. But the Shulchan Aruch says, not Purim coming year, Purim the past. It's not fair. Right? It's not fair. Because you are you're going backwards. Everybody going forwards. Along come the Darsha. No, it's not a Kasha. Because the same day of Purim in the past is the same day of the week as Lag BaOmer. When is Lag BaOmer? Sunday. When was Purim? You remember Purim was on a Sunday, Mitzvah Shabbos. So the Purim Middle Sha'ovar is a remez. What's going to be Lag BaOmer Lehaba? Because there's a connection between Purim and Lag BaOmer. They both represent mystery. They're both mystical. What is Purim all about? What is Purim all about? Purim is all about seeing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden. The hiddenness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is Lag BaOmer all about? The hidden nature of Torah. Sisrei Torah. Bar Yochai, Shem Shim Bar Yochai. It's all about, we discussed this, the Pnimius. It's all about the hidden nature of Torah. That's what Purim is all about. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'Yonohi, Haster, Aster Purim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. There's a direct correlation between Purim and Lag BaOmer. So really the letter Vav, the sixth day of Pesach, really is a reference to the future. The future of Purim, which really goes backwards to Purim L'Sha'avar, which is Lag BaOmer L'Haba, because Purim and Lag BaOmer are twins. And that's why on the Shulchan, there are Shtayim Arachas. There are two arrangements of bread. Why did Hashem have to arrange there to be two arrangements? Because Purim is Polak. Because it's divided into two parts. The holiday of Purim is only complete together with the holiday of Lag BaOmer. So the Shulchan is Merameh, is the Shtayim Arachas. Okay, this is one approach. Now, this is where I really want to come to. I want to come to two more things, but let's come. Rav Moshe Wolfson, Mashkiach Torah Das, Rav of Munas Yisrael, he asks, what about Tisha B'Av? Where is Tisha B'Av? Kora Olai Moed. It's a Feresh Pasuk in Eicha that Tisha B'Av is also a holiday. It's a celebration that we survive in Golas. If Purim and Chanukah are part of the Moadim in the Torah, if Shabbos, Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Chanukah, so where is Pasuk in Eicha? Keep on going, he says. That's the next. Vayetze ben Isha Yisraelis, Vahu ben Isha Mitzri, Besuch ben Yisrael, Vayinatsu, Bamachmi, there was fighting. Sinas Chinam. And what happened in that fighting? Ben HaYisrael, Isha Yisrael, these two men were fighting. Sinas Chinam. Mamish, Sinas Chinam. And what happened? Vayikoiv. And there was a klala. The fighting got to a point where a person was Mekalel B'Shem Hashem, it was Giduf, Ben Isha Yisrael, says Hashem, Vayikalel. He issued a klala. Klala is the denial of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, or you use you, or simply means that he cursed his friend B'Shem Hashem. Sinas Chinam, the Chabayis was Chara because of Sinas Chinam. How did this come about? So Rashi says, what is it? Shlemis? The way this came about was because they were too friendly. Too friendly. Every Rashi says, Pitbeit Sholei Malach. This, the mother, every person she met in the street. Late Sonis, is it Rashi?
Yitzonis.
Too friendly. You get too involved with too many people. You get into trouble. Klal Yisrael, they learned from the Umas HaOlam. We got a little bit too friendly with the Goyim. We learned from their evil ways. It influenced us. One thing led to another. And therefore, Rav Wolfson says this, and what happened? What happened was, there was terrible things. There was Viragma called the person who was put to death. There was a Churban. The Makala was taken Chutz L'machaneh. Klal Yisrael was taken outside the Machane Shechina. There was a Churban Bayis. So it's unbelievable. It's an incredible thing what it says here. That Rav Wolfson says that keep on going. All the Moadim. And don't forget about Tisha B'Av. Karlai Moed. And after you finish with Chanukah and Purim, you then go to the Moed of Tisha B'Av. There's what to learn from Tisha B'Av. Sinas Chinam Vayinatsu Mekalel Vayichutz L'Machane. Chutz L'Machane, we take it outside of the Machane Shechina. There's a Golus. It's all right here. Okay. The one point I want to make. Why, when we focus on Mashiach, on the Churban Beis HaMikdash, why did it happen? What can we do to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash? So you'll say, why did the Churban happen? Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shfich HaStamim, Sinas Chinam, right, that was the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, Sinas Chinam. Take out an encyclopedia and start focusing on all the sins. You'll find many of the Gemara says because of Ten Averos, it was destroyed. You can find an encyclopedia of sins, of what we need to do in order to rectify the situation. But what's very interesting is according to where Wilson is teaching us that the Remes here, the Remes of Tisha B'Av, the Churban, is Merumas, in this week's Parashat Moadim, the Torah is telling us explicitly in a hidden way where Churban comes from. Vayetze, the beginning of the parasha begins Vayetze ben Isha Yisraelis. Rashi, what does it mean Vayetze? Mehechon Yotze. How did this whole thing come to be? How did it come to be? Rabbi Levi Yomer me Olamo Yotze. Where did he go? He left his world, okay. Rabbi Barach Yomer mi Parsha Shalomalo Yotze. Ligleg v'omar b'yoyim hashabbos yarichenu derech hamelech lechol pas chama b'chol yom shema pas enene shel tishas yomim bitmiya. He was melagleg on the shulchan, on the lechem upon him. The whole reason how such a thing happened, there was a mekalel. There was a person that was chayiv misa for this terrible sin of megadef. He took Hashem's name and he was megadef. All came because he was melagleg on the lechem upon him. You go and you prepare the bread 9 days ago and you keep it on the shulchan for 9 days and then you give it to the kohanim. So let's be honest, no bakery would stand a chance. And the Beis HaMikdash, you have to have bread that's 9 days old. It's a litzan. So this person, he made a litzanis. He refused to recognize the miracle that the bread remained warm for 9 days, and they showed this to Klal Yisrael. They picked up the bread, they showed the bread to Klal Yisrael. Ruchi baznaf meha makom. He refused to see the chiba, the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked for Klal Yisrael. He was milagleg on the shulchan, the lechem upon him, which as we just said, has shtayim arachos. And the lechem, the shulchan, lechem upon him corresponds to what? To Purim and to Lag BaOmer. And this is the shoresh of Tisha B'Av, of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So the drush I want to extract from this idea is, besides, of course, you have Sinas Chinam, Avodah Zarah, Gilei Raya, Shrei Chastav, and all the Gemaras that tell us. But in another, from another perspective, what do we need to do to bring Mashiach? What should we focus on? Should we focus on matzah? Look at the matzahs, humble. Should we focus on sukkahs, the dalaminim, sukkahs, golas? Torah is telling us, focus on Purim. Focus on Lag BaOmer. What is Purim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden, he's there. The other Purim is all about Hashkocha Pratis. A person should never say, a coincidence. It was just a coincidence that Mordechai happened to overhear a conversation between Bigson and Seresh. They told Esther and Esther was taken, and they made this party and that party, and all these events came together. The whole story of Purim, there's no Nisim Galuyim. There were no miracles. It was just regular, simple things that happened. Just regular events that occurred one after another, and the ability to be makir, the Yad Hashem, in the ordinary. That's what the Shulchan is. That's what Purim is. Correct? What is Lag BaOmer? It's Lag BaOmer to a certain degree is also the same idea. The whole idea of Lag BaOmer is Sisrei Torah. Sisrei Torah, I don't mean mysticism. We mean there's something deeper. Don't just look at something on the surface. That's the essence of Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer is, don't just look at the Torah on a very superficial level. The Torah has great depth. We're not roi for the great depth. We don't learn Zohar. No one understands these things. But there's an appreciation. Stand back. There's an appreciation that Torah has infinite depth, and it's way beyond us. Everything that happens in this world has infinite depth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just things don't just happen by themselves. This happened, that happened. Everything is directed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mekalel, he made Litzanus on this. He made Litzanus of the Shulchan. He made Litzanus of the Shtayim Arachos. Everything is a coincidence. There's no deeper meaning to Torah. Torah is just archaic. It's old-fashioned. It's ancient. It has no meaning. 9 days old. It's stale. Torah is stale. It doesn't have any deeper meaning. It has no application for our lives. The events that happen in this world are not governed. They're not guided by the Yad Hashem. This was the Mekalel. And because he won, because he made litzanis of the Shulchan, which represents these two holidays, he became a Mekalel, and from that he was killed, he was taken mechutz l'machaneh. On a larger scale, Klal Yisrael, you want to know why there's a Churban? It's because, forget about all the miracles, the Nisan Gluim and Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkos, and all the wonderful history and all of these things. Live your life, your regular, ordinary life, with deeper meaning. Recognize that things that happen don't just happen. Hashem is speaking to you through ordinary events that happen in this world. Take it seriously. Every person knows himself. Every person is different. The same thing can happen and for two different people. It's an entirely different message. Every person has the yicholus to sense a little bit. There is an area in my life I need improvement, and perhaps this is Hashem's way of speaking to me and telling me to do improvement. What's for me is not for you. What's for you is not for me. Everyone is different. You cannot generalize. But But nothing happens by coincidence. And if a person, that is the shoresh sharashim, the root of the root of why we have Chorbin, why there's no Beis Hamikdash, and why we're waiting for the Gula. Vayetze ben Isha Yisrael, Lesu ben Ishmitzri, Besuch ben Yisrael, he went out. Why did he leave? Why did this whole event, which is Mirames on the Chorbin Beis Hamikdash? It's because he was Malagleg on the previous parasha, not on Pesach, not on Shabbos, not because he's a Mechal Shabbos, not because he does this. It's because simple little things. Nothing happens by accident. That is the Musar of Ayetze Beben Ben Ish Yisraelis.
Is there a correlation between Lag BaOmer and
Yes, so we discussed this. Lag BaOmer, according to some, was the day when the Mon began to fall. Because it says that they had with them the Ugos Matzos, they took out of Mitzrayim, lasted 30 days, which took them until the 14th day of Iyar. And then they complained, the 15th day of Iyar, they complained to Hashem. 3 days later is when the Mon fell, according to one approach in Chazal. That's 15, 16, 17. No, the 15th day they complained, and then 3 days later the Mon actually fell. 16, 17, and 18. So the Mon began to fall on the 18th day, according to one, that's one approach that's significant for the Mon. In fact, the Parashas Haman that some people say every single day after davening has 33 psukim. Lag BaOmer. Another significant event is the Mabul began on Lag BaOmer. The Mabul began in the second month on the 17th day. And you look in Rashi. Rashi says, but then it says that it rained for 40 days. And Rashi makes a calculation. The 17th day doesn't count. Because the 17th day, it only rained by the day, not in the night before. So the 40 days of the Mabul, when the Torah says there were 40 days of the Mabul, Rashi Beferish, she says this, it means from the 18th day of the second month. Now if you assume that the second month is Iyar, not Cheshvan, which is a discussion, then Rashi is telling us is that the first of the 40 days of the Mabul was 40 days. Torah says that the Arubos HaShemayim Niftachu on the 17th day. But just because they were open does not mean that it actually rained or that was considered in Halacha Mabul. It was rain. It was Gishmei Brocha. Had they done Tshuva, it would have turned into the Gishmei Brocha. They didn't do Tshuva, so it turned into the Mabul. The first day, the Mabul was, the other 40 days of the Mabul was on the 18th day of the second month, which is Lag BaOmer. So that's another very significant day. The Mon is pure Ruchnius. The Mabul is Churban of this world. What is it? What's the Musa Haskel? The stakes are high. The stakes are high. You can go on the day of Lag BaOmer, if you take advantage, you can go all the way to Shemayim. Lechem Abirim. And if Rechmona Litzlan, you go the other way, you gamble, you can go all the way down to the Churban of the world can come on Lag BaOmer. It's the day when the Mabul began. It's a very auspicious time, it's a very holy time. Okay, but I think this is, just to recap, I'll stop here. So when we count, I think this is a very powerful part. When you go through the Moadim, it's a beautiful parish of the Moadim. You have Shabbos, we have Pesach, we have the Omer, the second day Pesach when you bring the Omer, and we have Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres. We have a remes to Chanukah, a remes to Purim, and Purim is subdivided into the Shtei Marochos, which we know in the calendar, there's a direct relationship between Purim and Lag BaOmer. They both, in essence, capture the same idea of Pnimius. Purim represents the Pnimius in Hashem's Hanhoga of the world. Lag BaOmer represents the Pnimius of Torah, that Torah itself has great depth. Two different types of Pnimius, same theme. And then we have the Mekalel, which Rav Wolfson says represents the idea of the next Moed of Tisha B'Av. The Torah is speaking to us in many different languages. The Psuchos and the Stumos is a very significant speech. How the Torah wants us to divide up the Moadim, which opens up a whole new understanding that there's a holiday called the second day Pesach, which is apart from the first day Pesach, which begins us on the process all the way to Shavuos. We have the Mekalel. The Mekalel was a direct outgrowth of the Shulchan Lechem Aponim, which we said is Purim and Lag BaOmer. A lack of appreciation of the Hanhaga is the shirish of the Chor Beis HaMikdash, and the only way we can rebuild the Beis HaMikdash is by being more sensitive to picking up Hashem's signals in our daily lives. Have a wonderful Shabbos, and have a wonderful Lag BaOmer.